This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
There is no doubt the lockdown of businesses has knocked the nation's economy into a recession. To find out how severe the economic fallout will be, we turn to Scott Sumner. Scott is a research assistant at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Scott, of course, America and the world have taken a huge economic hit as a result of this coronavirus pandemic. Can you outline for us the depth of the recession or even depression that we're likely to find ourselves in?
All the forecasts are that it'll be a quite deep slump in the economy with double-digit unemployment, probably the highest since the Great Depression. In terms of the duration of the recession, that's a lot less clear. Hopefully, it will be much shorter than the Great Recession of 2008-9, which had a very slow recovery. But at least in terms of depth, this will probably be the deepest since the Great Depression.
We have seen the government undertake a number of different stimulus programs. Congress has passed three of them. Are those stimulus programs starting to have an effect? Will they have an effect? And do we need to do more?
Okay, so economists divide this up into like supply problems and demand problems. So stimulus can't really solve the supply problem right now. That means firms are having trouble simply producing goods because of the various shutdowns and so on. And giving people more money to spend doesn't really solve that problem if stores and restaurants aren't open and if people are afraid to fly or take cruises. So we have a supply-side problem that's kind of unique. Normally during a recession, the problem is not enough demand. And if you pump money into the economy, you'll get more spending and you'll get a recovery. In this case, however, I don't think the stimulus will have a big effect right now. However, I do worry that this recession will turn into a demand-side problem later on. That is, once we solve the medical aspect of the problem, perhaps with a vaccine, we still may be depressed, and at that point, stimulus can be helpful in terms of getting people spending again and getting businesses back up to a more normal level.
If Congress were to look at the fourth component of this whole stimulus effort, Scott, what should be included in that, if anything, or is this something maybe we should wait a bit for?
Yeah, I would prefer to wait a bit in general. So there's certainly some things that meet an immediate need, say beefing up the unemployment program, given the huge spike in unemployment, making it more widely available to independent contractors and so on. I don't think things like the $1,200 rebate by themselves do much for the economy right now. It's not really clear what the purpose of that is. In my view, actually, monetary policy is a more effective tool for stimulus than fiscal for a couple of reasons. With fiscal stimulus, that is what Congress is doing, you're basically either taking money through taxes or borrowing and moving it around to different parts of the economy. With monetary policy, you're creating new money, injecting new money into the economy. And in my view, that has a more powerful stimulative effect over time. In addition, monetary policy doesn't run up big budget deficits. So even though we are inevitably going to have to run larger deficits in the next few years, I don't think we should overdo it because that puts a future burden on taxpayers. So for those two reasons, I think monetary policy is more powerful and it's less of a long-term burden on taxpayers than deficit spending. So I'd like to keep the fiscal stimulus to somewhat lower level than some other economists favor and just target it towards those where the need is greatest.
The Federal Reserve has undertaken a number of steps in recent weeks. So that our audience can have a better understanding, can you talk a bit about what the Fed has done and why has it taken these measures?
The Fed has done quite a few things. They've cut interest rates almost to zero. They've done some other things like eliminating reserve requirements for banks. Probably the most noteworthy thing that's gotten a lot of attention is they've decided to intervene in more markets than is typically the case. So normally the Fed would create new money by buying treasury bonds, which is a very safe asset. And they'd buy these treasury bonds with the newly created money, which gets it into circulation. This time around, they're going to inject money through various programs, not just buying treasury bonds, but through various programs of buying corporate bonds and lending programs for businesses. So they plan to sort of distribute the money more widely through a number of different mechanisms. The downside of this is these are more risky. So the Federal Reserve is exposed to potential losses that are much less of a problem when they buy Treasury bonds. Now, Congress has passed, as part of their stimulus, a pretty large fund, about $450 billion, to sort of backstop these losses for the Fed. So if the Fed does lose money on some of its emergency programs, there is a fund provided by Congress to cover those losses. But that would be probably the most controversial part of the monetary program this time around, is it's getting into areas of the economy that the Fed would traditionally stay out of, and they're absorbing more risk. But I do think it has had a positive effect on, say, the expectations in the markets. The markets have recovered somewhat, and I think it will benefit the economy a little bit down the road.
The Fed having taken these actions, Scott, do they still have any tools left in the toolkit should additional action be necessary in order to keep the economy afloat and to start pointing us back toward a recovery?
Yeah, I think they actually do. I've always claimed that central banks like the Fed never run out of ammunition because there's really no limit to how much money you can print. If anything, the danger is, in the long run, if you print too much, you can end up with hyperinflation, like Venezuela or Zimbabwe. We're obviously not in that situation. Right now, they're providing money where there's a demand for money, and it's not creating a lot of inflation. But there's no limit to how much the Fed could potentially inject into the economy. The other thing I would point to is that the Fed could adjust its targets in a sort of subtle way that a lot of economists think would be very useful. And this concept is called level targeting. It means that if you miss your target, say for 2% inflation, you promise to come back to the trend line a year or two out in the future. And this actually tends to help create what's called a V-shaped recovery, a quicker recovery. Now, the problem we had in the last recession in 2008 is we sort of settled on a lower track once we went into a deep downturn and never got back to the previous trend line for inflation or GDP or anything like that. So if the Fed promises to try to come back to the previous trend line and buys enough assets to create stimulus or demand in the economy, that can help boost expectations, make businesses more bullish, and can speed up the recovery. But with an important caveat, this can only be effective once these lockdowns end. There's nothing in my mind the Fed can do right now to significantly help the economy as long as there's a lot of mandatory lockdowns.
We have been talking with Scott Sumner, who is a research associate at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Scott, tell us a bit about the Mercatus Center. Also, where can folks go to read your writings?
Well, I have a blog called The Money Illusion, and I also blog at EconLog. And the Mercatus Center is a research institute that's sort of loosely associated with George Mason University.
Scott Sumner of the Mercatus Center. Scott, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.